Today on Real Life Radio.
To be relevant is to be contemporary. To be relevant is to be relatable. To be relevant is to be current. And we all, listen, we all want to be relevant, but we should be relevant in a careful way.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Relevant Christian, begins part 5 today in the book of Philippians chapter 1 with verses 27 through 30. Paul wrote this epistle to the church at Philippi during his imprisonment in Rome. We found in the previous verses of chapter 1 Paul's description of the relevant Christian. In verses 8 through 11, they are transformed people, abounding more and more in love. In verses 12 through 14, their mission is to further the gospel no matter what's going on in their lives. In verses 15 through 21, they rejoice in the face of anything through Christ. And in verses 20 through 26, they are faithful to the end, knowing that remaining on this earth is a benefit to others. Today, Pastor Jack tells us we are to be relentless in spreading the gospel message of hope and faith to a lost world. To be an illustration of what God is like to a world that has no answer, our conduct must be worthy of the gospel of Christ. That way we can take his message of salvation wherever we go. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Father, I ask you, Lord God, that you would cause this message this morning to go forth into our hearts. And Lord, I'm caught between two things, to do what I'm supposed to do as a pastor, but then, Lord God, I'd kind of wish, Lord, that for these people, they might wish too by the end of this message that a guest speaker were here today. But Lord, this is the house that you've called us to be in. This is a family here that you've caused us and called us to be living as. And so, Lord, as we jump back into the book of Philippians, we pray, God, that you would, in a very powerful way, please open up our eyes to your truth. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles and turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And if it's possible, we'll end the chapter today. I know that's a huge prayer request, but Philippians chapter 1. And we are in verses today, 27 to 30. I know it's a few verses. Chapter 1, verses 27 to 30, but here's the part that causes me great hesitation, is that they're extremely powerful. And thankfully, they are extremely relevant to where we're at today as believers. Why do I say that? Because we've been going through a series that is entitled The Relevant Christian. The Relevant Christian. And today we are in part 5 of this argument that comes out of the first chapter. The Relevant Christian, chapter 1, the book of Philippians, and in a moment, we'll read verses 27 to 30. But look with me at verse 8. It's been a while since we've been here, so look with me in verse 8, chapter 1, verse 8. We saw in verse 8 through 11 that the relevant Christian is someone who recognizes that there's more to us than what meets the eye. In fact, that there's something that's under our skin as a believer. We are deeper than just practicing churchianity or a Sunday morning gathering, because it's what we should do. That the fact of the matter is that we are transformed people. We are Christians. We've come out of the world, not by choice, but by God's love. He has called us out of the world. In verse 8, Paul said to the church at Philippi, remember, he's chained to a Roman guard from prison. He says, for God is my witness how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray. So notice his prayer comes out of affection for the Philippians, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, and that you may approve the things that are excellent. Wow, how we need that today. That you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. That's when Jesus appears for us. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Righteousness means doing the right thing. which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. In our second study, we saw in verses 12 to 14 that we, as relevant Christians, realize the centrality or the mission of our lives. Why are we living? What is the purpose? The centrality, verse 12, he went on, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Paul's imprisonment was actually adding to the spread of the gospel. "So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains, my imprisonment, are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word," that is the Bible, "without fear." Realizing the centrality of the mission of our lives was one that transcends the comforts of this world. Paul is saying, because I'm imprisoned for preaching the gospel's getting out there more powerfully, and now those who are free have become emboldened to preach the word of God. Isn't it awesome that the gospel cannot be imprisoned? It cannot be chained. It's not bound by the things of this world. The centrality of the mission of our lives. The third thing we saw in verses 15 to 21 was the fact that the relevant Christian rejoices in the face of everything that goes on in life. Good, bad, or ugly, we rejoice. Some indeed preach, verse 15, Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add to my afflictions or to my chains. That means there are those preaching the gospel for bucks. They're preaching the gospel because they think they can upset Paul and make fun of him. Verse 17, look at his attitude. Others, the latter, out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. So he says in verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, and yes, I will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. Listen to this. Whether by life or by death. Listen to this. Verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The fourth argument was in verses 22 to 26. But if I remain in the flesh, he's talking about being faithful to the end. If I live on or remain in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. And yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between two. I'm being forced to consider two decisions. One, having a desire to depart or die and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, he says, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith. Verse 26, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Now watch this. Here we go, our final installment, I think, today is this. Number 5, verses 27 to 30, resilient against a world condemned. The relevant Christian is to be resilient against a world condemned. Verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them, listen everybody, a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ to not only believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. Church, mark these things down. Mark these things down. Number one, when we talk about the relevant Christian, mark that word resilient. Will you put that down, please? Resilient. Resilient in light of the word relevant. Relevant. The word relevant, if we look at it, has some important synonyms to it. To be relevant is to be contemporary. To be relevant is to be relatable. To be relevant is to be current. And we all, listen, we all want to be relevant, but we want to be, we should be relevant in a careful way. And I'm mentioning this today because I got to tell you, I'm going to confess up front. You can pray for me now. I'm hearing a lot of things from the ministers of the gospel of God or pastors of churches. Nope, not going to go there. Can't mention that. Won't say that because we want to be relevant. We want to be relevant to the point that everybody likes us, that no one's got something, quote, bad or critical to say about us. They take the meaning relevant and they completely turn it on its ear. The Christian is to be relevant. And listen, to every generation for the last 2,000 years, a spirit-filled, biblically operated Christian will be relevant. Church will be relevant. To be a Christian is to be relevant to the age that God has deployed us into. You and I are living right now. Look, if you can hear me right now, regardless of your age, here's the awesome news. You were brought into this world for such a time as this. You may be 6 years old right now. You may be 96 years old right now. You know what? You're alive right now as a Christian because God has appointed you to this moment. And you don't have to try to reinvent relevant. You just need to trust God. You need to trust God and be a Christian. Trust God to speak to that world that you are feigning to reach by introducing cussing or cursing or drinking. Or now it's cool to smoke as pastors. Did you know that? Oh, it's cool to smoke as pastors or to drink now publicly as pastors. So if I'm going to be relevant to the culture in which I'm ministering to here in Chino Hills, then after service today, I'm going to go down to the local pub and I'm going to start drinking for this reason. Oh, to further the gospel, you see. You laugh? You laugh? I can show you books that encourage ministers and relevant Christians to do this. You laugh because you know the truth. What are we doing? When we forsake the power of the Holy Spirit, we lean upon human activity and human means. And we no longer trust God to reach the lost through a witness. We no longer look to God, the Holy Spirit, to affect people because he's not powerful enough, is he? He needs us to become like the world so that the church becomes so attractive that the world wants to come in. And they don't need to change anything. They don't need to repent of sin. They don't need to stop living with their neighbor's wife. They don't need to stop pornography or stop gambling or stop beating their children or stop beating their wife. They don't have to do that anymore because you know what? The church looks just like the world and the world looks just like the church. What's happened? Paul would not recognize the church in the Western world today. No, it's not relevant like that, my friends. It's relevant because if the Holy Spirit, who knows every one of us, and he knows every one of our lost relatives and every one of our lost neighbors. And he loves them as much as he loves you. That to truly rescue them and to save them, he sends them you. So much like Jesus, talking like Jesus, loving like Jesus. And that's when the Holy Spirit exhibits his power in the life of a believer. How will the world who will never read a Bible ever know that there's a Jesus when they look at you? You and I are walking epistles. You and I are walking Bibles to a world that will not read a Bible. And we talk about the word resilient today in our fifth argument, resilient against the world condemned. The word resilient also has synonyms that describe it. Listen, the Christian is to be hardy, strong, robust. You ever think of a Christian being robust? I think of my coffee being robust. Buoyant. I like that word. The Christian is to be buoyant in the midst of a condemned world. Irrepressible. You can't stop the church. You can't put it down. The moment you put it down, it squeezes out somewhere else and pops back up. It's like those crazy clown, those punching, remember those punching bags when we were kids or those clowns had sand in the bottom? You'd punch the clown in the face, you'd come right back. Come back smiling. Remember that? Had that smug look on its face, so you punched him harder. The word resistant also means durable. And I love this, relentless. The Church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century, right now, today, in the midst of an ever-darkening world, is that we are to be relentless. We're to be on fire, we would say, for God. Irrelevance is a moving target if you approach it from the world's perspective. What do we need to do now to get the crowds in? What do we need to do now to get the community to pay attention to us? That's a moving target, ladies and gentlemen. But again, if you pursue Jesus, biblically understood relevance is always, always, can I put it this way? Trending. What's trending? What's trending on YouTube? What's trending on, you know the term, what's everybody talking about? I don't have to look at some media outlet to tell me what's trending. I already know what's trending. I hope you do too. God is trending. He's always trending. Not based upon clicks and votes and how many views. God, listen, he's ever present in the minds of saints and sinners, of those going to heaven and those perishing. He's always in the mind. The difference in your mind is that you've submitted to Christ. You've submitted to his love and his lordship and his salvation. The world, listen, the world doesn't know his love. They don't want to know his love. But because they're sinning, willfully now continuing to sin, they're grieved and scared and wondering, what does God think about this? But that doesn't change them. So who's trending? God is trending. Always trending. So the relevant Christian we learn about in verses 27 is this, resilient against a world that has no answer. Look what Paul is saying. Verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Now, I hope to be done with this message today, but that statement alone in verse 27 is statement enough. He is saying, only let your conduct, circle the word conduct, church, it's amazing. Conduct is when you strip away all of the Greek words, you actually come down to the word polis. Polis, like metropolis or politic, believe it or not. In fact, the word politician comes from this word. A representative of a polis, a city-state. If you're a politician, we have politicians that attend this church and they go back to Washington, D.C. or to Sacramento, and what do? They represent our views. We voted them in, and we can certainly vote them out. God-fearing people, love the Lord, who take their biblical worldview to the places of decision. Are you with me? Now, Paul says, and this is vital, because Philippi, listen to this, the city of Philippi was not in Italy. It was over 800 miles from Rome. Why do I say this? Because Philippi was unique. It was a Roman colony. What does that mean? It means that every bit of citizenship, power, and influence, and rights that belonged to a Roman-born citizen applied to those who were born in Philippi. Why? That's abnormal. Why? Because when Antony and Octavian, when there was a big war against these Roman powers, Octavian had won, and his soldiers were given their retirement, and their generals went and settled in a very beautiful place in their military retirement called Philippi. And that place was so beautiful and wonderful, and there was such a strong presence of Roman, retired Roman power, that the Roman government, to thank their generals who began to live in that community, they gave them the declaration or status of Roman colony. That means everybody who was in Philippi had all the rights of a free Roman-born citizen from Rome. Pretty big deal. Because listen, I know we don't get this anymore. It's kind of tragic, actually. But a Roman colony like Rome, the children were raised to learn civics. That's where we get that from. Did you know that? Civics. They were taught politics. They were taught cultural engagement. Listen, the Roman citizen, Paul was this way. Paul was raised as a free-born Roman citizen to be engaged in Roman society. It was expected of you. It wasn't an option. I'm going somewhere with this. You didn't sit it out. Paul the Apostle, before he was converted, was intimately engaged not only in his Judaism, but because he was a Roman, Guess what? Paul cast his input. Paul got involved. You couldn't separate the two. That's why he so often stresses that our citizenship is now where? In heaven. But church, listen, did he, because he was a citizen of heaven, divorce himself from his citizenship as a Roman? No. What did he do with it? He used it, didn't he? He used it. He says, hey, you just smacked me. You just beat me up and threw me in jail. So what? You're a Christian. Well, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm also a Roman citizen, and what you just did to me was illegal, and I appealed to Caesar. Boy, are you in trouble. I like that. God forbid that a pastor or a Christian should do that today. Wait a minute. You and I as Americans, or maybe you've come to the United States and you've become an American, you have now all rights. Now, as a Christian, listen, my Christianity comes first. My citizenship is first in heaven. But as far as it comes to promoting the gospel, I will use every bit of my legal right given to me in the government to proclaim the gospel. Listen, I've been on Fox News a few times. Do you think they like it? Do you think they like that I hope within 30 seconds after my face being on the screen has nothing to do with the topic that I say Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again from the grave? Listen, you say, well, what are you doing that for? Because I didn't ask to be on the news. They asked me. They're going to get it. They want to suffer. That's their business. Use it. Use it. And Paul is saying this to them. He says, let your conduct, your politics be worthy of the gospel of Christ. You now are a bona fide, freeborn, all right caring citizen of heaven. And every Philippian believer went, wow, we know what that means. It's something to be Roman. It's something greater to be a Christian. Wow. I know that comes as a shock to some people, not you, but there are people who are watching this right now in various places online and on internet TV and stuff like that. And they think, wait a minute, what's he talking about? I was born in America. I have a passport. I'm an automatic Christian. No, God's not an American. He's not even Texan. And he's certainly not a Californian. When he says to walk worthy of Christ and the gospel of Christ, see the word worthy? It's a pretty amazing word, and it's important for us to understand this. The word worthy means a God-worthy honoring. A God-honoring, a God-worthy. It's a statement of association. Listen carefully. It means to live your life as a believer, a citizen of heaven, in an appropriate way. An appropriate way. To live for Christ in an appropriate way. Now, what is appropriate? That would be, listen, the word means, because it answers itself. The word means in a way that is godlike.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Relevant Christian. Thanks for listening today, and take heart, the battles you face as a Christ follower against the evils of our day prove that you are a citizen of heaven. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, how would you like to kick off the new year with an unforgettable journey? Well, January is right around the corner, and here's what we think is a really good idea. The 1-Year Bible. It's available for you today. Now, this unique design is really user-friendly because of the arrangement of Scripture. It brings a fresh approach to each day's reading. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be reading a portion of the Old Testament, the New Testament, a Psalm, and a Proverb, and it's all designed to bring you through the Bible in 1 year. The 1-Year Bible also includes 2- and 3-year reading plans. The 1-Year Bible, it's ideal for your personal devotions, or you can bring the whole family in if you'd like. The New King James Version of the 1-Year Bible is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.